Welcome to the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast. I'm your host, John Lossworth. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Mark Hopmar.
You know, Leatherface is capable of running a 6.1-minute mile.
Who figured that out, Mark?
Well, that Texas Chainsaw remake, it's really bad. That came out in 2003. I actually fell asleep while watching it. But there's a scene in it that's really bad where he's chasing a young teenager, and this teenager's running through about 60 bedsheets, right? I don't know how 60 bedsheets are lined up, but he's running through 60 bedsheets. He has 10 feet on Leatherface. I'm predicting he's going about 9 miles an hour. Leatherface goes on a five-second burst, explodes, gets ahead of the kid, and then chops his leg off. So to catch up to him, he had to run 6.1 miles per hour. He had to run a 6.1-minute mile.
The way I see it, all right, he should have been drafted by the Steelers. Uh-huh. He's got great thrust from his quad strength. Yep. I think he just knew the lay of the land. I think that he was using those sheets as an offensive screen when he was charging in for that poor defensive wide receiver. Like, I think that's all it was. I think he just got right in on him, and he knew the lay of the land better too.
So he's like a defensive end who does a swim move on an offensive tackle, and then explodes.
He had a good screen.
So he literally had a screen.
So yeah, imagine
he had
like,
a good screen.
So imagine Ray Lewis if he had a chainsaw.
Oh my god! Honestly, you know, I'm not necessarily shocked that he caught that kid. In general, like if he wasn't holding the chainsaw. But the thing is that he doesn't get to swing his arms and his shoulders when he runs when he's holding the chainsaw. That's what baffles me.
Yeah.
Sure. John Lemmigood, what's your 40-yard dash time? Your bed sheets.
I don't know. Like, I'll bet it would be a lot faster if I was running away from a 265 pounder with a chainsaw.
Like, I'll let you know when I finish. I started like a year ago.
You know, in all fairness, though, like, I'm bigger than 265 pounds.
Sure.
That's just actor weighed. Like, what do you think Leatherface, the character, would weigh? Like, he was probably like 315.
Yeah.
He's
right?
A...
Like, that was a big dude.
Yeah, I mean, he was a big boy, right?
Mm-hmm. He had, like, those farm muscles like Nick Cage did in that movie Joe, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
What's scarier, Nick Cage and Joe chasing you or Leatherface?
I think it depends. Are there sheets?
Yes.
If I'm surrounded by sheets, then Leatherface is scarier.
Well, if it's trees, then...
I got to go with Nick Cage in either scenario.
If it's trees, it's Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I think that Nick Cage will get frazzled by all those sheets.
Yeah, he would get stuck in the first one.
Hold on. I think that we have another opinion that we haven't heard about for this Leatherface chase.
Sure. We're joined by a special guest today. Say hi, everyone. Megan.
Hello. I have a suspicion that Mark calculated this by walking around the backyard.
I did.
Wait, what? Like you reenacted it?
Yeah. Well.
Yes. Please share.
Would you set up like bed sheets, like, and everything?
Yeah. No, I did. I had sticks and a tape measure, and I because I predicted how fast he ran. Then I did the math about where the sheets were hung. So I predicted that he would have to run 72 feet because he had to run at an angle and then come at him. Whereas the other kid's running in a straight line at 45 feet. So I walked the backyard.
You're like a coach.
And I laid down sticks, and I had my 25-foot tape measure.
I mean, he didn't share this willingly. I found the big tape measure on the counter and his shoes on the back porch when I got home, and I asked.
It's like, Mark, have you been diagramming horror movie chases again?
You got me.
You know, if you had recorded yourself doing that, it would have been way more entertaining than the remake that came out.
Oh, that'd have been good.
Oh, yeah. You should have used the video camera.
Yeah, I should have taped it.
Yeah, just use your phone next time or something. Just set it up.
1, 2 feet.
Selfie stick.
3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet.
Do you still use those?
I think so.
Selfie sticks?
I'd like to see Leatherface kill someone while they're using a selfie in the next Texas Chainsaw movie.
And they get caught, like, you know, they're FaceTiming.
No, you're supposed to feel sorry for the victims.
or they're using that, what is that? That live app, Periscope, and like they're getting chased and they're running, holding the camera while they're periscoping, and the Leatherface catches them.
Well, you can Instagram live; it's more popular.
Yeah,
Periscope. I hear Periscope.
Him to systematically kill someone using every social medium.
Sure. So it's like one of those social media horror movies mashed up with Leatherface, updated for the post-millennial generation.
Yeah, but instead of found footaging it like that garbage, like those garbage movies, instead it'll be subtly placed like they do in the Black Mirror movies shows.
Didn't we review like a movie like that? I think it was like Unfriended or something like that.
Yeah, Unfriended.
Yeah.
People looking at screens.
That was terrible.
It's a surprisingly unhorrible movie.
Sure. Okay, I think it's time to start the podcast like we usually do by just tripping all over my words. Let's answer some listener questions. Let me get, I think you have questions for us this week.
Yeah, the host of the Dead as Hell Horror Podcast asks, and it's a strange question to me because it doesn't have to do with horror or movies necessarily, but he asks, if you could save time in a bottle, what's the first thing you'd like to do?
Team up with Rachel McAdams. She's with every time traveler.
That's right.
She lives.
It was In Time and the Time Traveler's Wife. Were those the movies?
And then she did another one.
No, there's four of them.
Doctor Strange, he has time traveling.
Oh, good Lord. There's a fourth?
I think so.
Yeah, The Notebook.
Yep, there you go. No.
Well, mentally, she was taken to that time frame. I'll buy that.
Yeah, there was some time travel. Flashbacks. I think there's three.
But when James Garner was telling her that story, right, about their youth, that was about them, and then she realizes it's her, it's like she's reliving it.
So you're putting time in a bottle?
Well, yeah, I guess.
So this is like the Justin Timberlake movie?
I don't know, or is it like Pirates of the Caribbean? Yeah. It's the time in the bottle with the ship.
What? Oh, wait. There's time in a bottle in the Pirates of the
Caribbean? Can we
well, put the ship in the bottle?
And let the time out and it expands. And then it's like the TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah. I don't want to save time. Because I feel like that would take a lot of time.
That sounds exactly like you.
I got to say, I have so many movies disappear from my Netflix queue over the years because I save every bad horror movie I ever see and never get to it. I feel like I'd squander it on Netflix.
How could you catch time, Lazaveth?
I think you just go out in your backyard, go out of like a big mason jar, and you just kind of run around in circles.
Yeah, like those people in Norway who are selling the jars of air.
Yeah.
Is it Spaceballs?
Sure.
Wait, I remember it. It's Midnight in Paris.
Wait, what?
Rachel McAdams.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Villainous.
There we
go. The movie where she's a villain.
So Spaceballs kind of, you had time in a bottle because they had time in a can, which is air.
Interesting.
That's the best reaction I think I've ever heard you have, Lazaveth.
It's like, did Mark just lose it, or did he have a stroke of brilliance?
I think he just had a stroke. For me personally, it wouldn't matter if I could save time. I'd still find a way to just waste it. You know,
yeah.
It's like when you have like a Sunday off and you're just like, man, I'm going to do so much stuff today and get so much stuff done. But you end up just doing nothing the whole day. And then like when it's like 7 or 8 in the evening on Sunday and you're just like, man, I didn't do anything. I literally did nothing today.
I feel you. Like I'd watch the 12 Friday the 13th movies in one day.
Oh,
you know, I kind of want to do that.
What, do nothing and just watch Friday the 13th movies?
Yeah, I want to do that. I want to watch all the Friday the 13th movies.
I mean, there's 12. If you do it before the whenever the next reboot comes out, like if you timed it right, that would be like a 24-hour marathon.
But then I'd probably want to like rewind it because I feel like I wasted all my time.
Or did you waste any time at all because the time came from the bottle?
But then I'd have to go out and get more time.
Or is it like traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast?
Oh, where you got to pay it back eventually?
Yeah, jet lag.
Wait, so the more time you steal, the more jet lagged you are?
Cool. I hear you can just walk it off.
So you can get a lot.
Walk it off.
You can get a lot more time, but you're always exhausted.
Yeah. Dude, we are totally monkey pawing this time.
Is that the final answer then?
What time?
Yes. Yeah. All right. What's the second listener question, John?
Second listener question comes from Josie from Las Vegas, and she asks, in most horror movies, why is it that the virgin lives, but only so long as she remains a virgin? The minute she starts to get down and dirty, dead.
This is just like a standard trope since forever, right?
Yeah, that's a curious point, isn't it? Like, because when you go back, like, I guess 50 years, mm-hmm. there wasn't a lot of getting down and dirty. And, you know, the premarital sex and the drinking, and then you get killed, right?
What's the first movie to start that? Like, Friday the 13th?
Oof. I mean, there's
Casablanca?
Casablanca.
Black Christmas. There's got to be stuff before Black Christmas.
The Great Train Robbery. I'm pretty sure
if you think about it, like, even old stories, there's still the hussy. Like, you watch,
like, Hitchcock movies?
Victorian movies, and there's the hussy.
Did the Hitchcock movies have hussies?
Around. It was frowned upon, but they still slept around.
Were they getting killed for it?
I mean, it's possible. You've seen War and Peace, right?
That sounds like it's too old for me to...
Did hussies get killed in War and Peace?
I'm sure.
Oh.
What about, like, a trip to the moon? I'm pretty sure there was some funky stuff going on there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Was it?
I don't know. Well, so I think it just started off as a trope, and then, like, don't you always have, like, aren't the characters, wasn't always, like, the kind of the good girl that was, like, the main character because you kind of liked her and you wanted her to become stronger and, like, eventually win, and then you just had all the Randy teenagers getting murdered.
Or is it because the social outcast is obsessed with the pure one, and then they lose that, and then he loses his enchantment with her and offs her?
So is this question, like, asking, like, why does this trope exist? Like,
I suppose it's saying, sure.
It's like, why is water wet?
Okay, if you have a villain, right? Something had to make them a villain, and it was probably some kind of social or moral, well, a moral wrong. So maybe it's when you have the other people who are committing some kind of a moral wrong, they have earned their punishment in literature and film. Hmm. Whereas if they are innocent, they don't deserve to die, even though movies, you know, try to turn away from that trope, particularly in the last 20 years. Like, maybe it's almost like this veil of morality. And once you primarily have sex or smoke pot, although nowadays that's becoming legal in most places. Oh, my God. What's going to happen in 10 years when people in their 20s are watching, like, these, like, movies from the 90s and 2000s, and, like, someone smokes pot and then gets killed by, like, Freddy or Jason? They'll be like, what'd they do wrong?
Are they going to have to, like, switch to, like, crystal meth in, like, 10 years?
Yeah, I know. They'll have to be doing bath salts.
Here's a question. What kind of movie do the filmmakers in the red light district in Amsterdam make? Nothing is illegal there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you violate the safe word rules, I suppose. Okay. Like, in Eurotrip, when he had to say that 18-syllable word, like, had he said that, and then if Lucy Lawless continued to flail him to death, that would have violated the trope. That was a really weird arc for me to go on.
Yeah, you went deep into that film.
I just shocked myself.
You immediately jumped on that.
I did not have that loaded.
I'm all out of CD places. I don't know.
I kind of want to watch Eurotrip again. Scotty doesn't know.
Eurotrip was wonderful.
It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the final answer? That's the final answer. Eurotrip.
Yep, Eurotrip.
Sure.
Maybe I should watch it again.
I don't think you need a reason to watch it. It's just, yeah, just watch it. It's fine.
That guy was just in a horror movie. The guy who played Scotty, he was in James Wan's that James Wan produced, but his movie Demonic, which still has not found a U.S. release date after 2 years.
Oh no!
Yeah, what's the story behind that, real quick? Did it just like not? It was made.
It's been released in Asia, Europe, Africa, South America. It has not found a U.S. release.
It's very strange.
I kind of saw it by accident when some Indian vendor said that it was an all-region DVD and lied, but thankfully my computer could play it, so I got to watch it and review it.
Were you at a Comic-Con?
What's that?
Where'd you buy it?
Amazon. On Amazon, the people said it was an all-region DVD.
And it, for some reason, I just picture you like walking through like a dusty like street bazaar in India, just like haggling like this dude over DVDs.
No, and I was upset. Like, even though I could watch it on my computer, I was thinking like, I'm going to send this back. This is not what they said that it was. And then I realized like, wait, it's been 2 years. Like, when the hell is this movie going to get released? I may as well keep this.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for those wonderful listener questions. I think we have another one coming up soon. In the meantime, I think it's time to move on to the topic of the day. Mark, do you want to introduce the topic?
Oh, that's a wait. No, that's Led Zeppelin.
It was kind of close.
I can't do that. What's the guitar solo for Wonder Woman?
I mean, it wasn't that.
I just did Immigrant Song.
Outstanding music, though, that they gave to her.
Yeah, no, $125 million right now, 92% Rotten Tomatoes, 93% you know, audience score. It's just a movie that I think is going to hold really well, and I loved it.
Yeah, and we are saying this on the Wednesday after its opening weekend.
What a fun film.
Yeah, I had a super blast with this. This is has there been a more satisfying comic book or superhero movie in the last decade for you?
I can think of a couple.
Yeah.
Really?
Iron Man 1, Doctor Strange, Captain America 2.
Guardians of the Galaxy. I put them as equal. I wouldn't put them as better. Not really? Me, anyway.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Guardians 2.
Guardians 2. First Iron Man. Doctor Strange.
Oh, Blade 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
John's getting so mad right now.
I very much love Blade 2.
That'd be funny if the rest of this podcast was us just naming movies that were better.
Like 89 other comic, every other comic book movie that came out.
What about Hellboy 2? That was a pretty good movie, right?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
We also Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Doctor Strange was fun.
You know, I did not like that more than this.
You know what? Doctor Strange is like on Netflix at the moment. Like, I just kind of... I literally just watched that one scene where he just tells off Rachel McAdams, like in that hospital room. I just want
when he tells her off.
Yeah, I'm just like it's so sad. But for some reason, I just had to see it again. I'm just like, oh man.
Whenever we watch it, I'm like, don't yell at Rachel.
Oh man,
dude, the bad German in this movie would not have said anything that mean.
No. You know,
which bad German?
Oh, spoilers, guys. There's a lot of spoilers in this podcast. Wait, so if you haven't watched Wonder Woman, spoilerific.
So this is the Wonder Woman movie. Does this probably doesn't need a big one, but we should give it at least a brief synopsis before we jump into it, right?
All right. So
the entire movie is a flashback.
Yeah, it's a Logan's Run. All right, so cut to the land of a secret island called something.
Demascara, I think.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And you got a bunch of Amazons who were brought to the earth to kind of straighten men out, but then men imprisoned them. Then Zeus was like, yo, I got to keep you away from men. So then Zeus put them on an island where no one could find them. And then there's this girl, Diana, who is either made out of clay or is a daughter of Zeus. She's chilling on this island. She grows up to be a badass because she trains with like ripped shoulders, Robin Wright No more Penn. I want to say Robin Wright Penn, gosh, but it's Robin Wright as like, dude, the ultimate badass.
She Buttercup all grown up.
She needs a Taken movie.
She was jacked in that movie.
Like I was watching it, and Megan told me about it because she watched it like before I did, and when I saw it, I was like, holy crap. So they're on this island, Chris Pine crash lands. For some reason, the Amazons give up the high ground and attack Germans when they have tons of arrows.
With their primitive weapons.
I mean, why do that? So then they give up the high ground. Chris Pine helps out. He sits in a jacuzzi. World War I is going on. Diana's like, hey, I'm going to help. So then she leaves the Amazons and she joins Chris Pine in, you know, World War I, very male chauvinist land. They're together. There's some cheeky moments involving suffragettes. There's some cheeky moments involving her trying on clothes and high kicks. Then they go to the war. They go to no man's land. She does probably one of my favorite moments of the year so far. Big ass action scene. Then she blows up a church for no reason. Or at least a cathedral, and then it turns out that Ares is Lupin from Harry Potter, and then there's the big CGI lame smash him up at the end, but then there's a very, very, very satisfying conclusion that's very similar to Captain America, but it still almost brought a tear to my eye.
And the whole movie was basically explaining the Batman versus Superman photograph that Bruce Wayne found of Wonder Woman from, like, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, 80 years ago.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned Captain America, because after I got done watching the movie, I immediately thought, like, this is the movie that I wanted Captain America 1 to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because Captain America 1, it was just, it felt like, it just felt off, you know. You figure, like, a superhero movie based in World War II would be amazing, but it wasn't all that great, but...
This is the problem I had with Captain America. I love Peggy Carter. I loved Agent Carter. She's awesome. But that whole relationship is handled poorly. The way they keep bringing her memory back and dragging her through multiple MCU movies. They handle Chris Pine in a much more clean way. He saves the day. He looks back at the plane. He smiles. He's got a bunch of bombs. He's about to die. And it's a clean write-off. And she still loves him and... Yeah. We don't have to deal with him in multiple movies later in his memory.
Yeah, just kill him off after one movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wipe him out.
Yeah, you're right. It had, like, it was the same ending as Captain America 1, but instead of Wonder Woman taking a dive, it was the love interest. So, it had a lot of similar beats. Really,
but I know all the actors are different, but I think out of Chris Pine, Chris Pratt, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Evans. I think Chris Pine, after Hell or High Water, this one, Star Trek, I think he has the most range.
That might be fair.
Yeah, I agree.
I do not disagree with that. Although Hemsworth did Rush.
Yeah, he was good in Rush. But I like Daniel Brühl more.
I can only pick one really good exception for him.
Yeah, Rush, though, like, I feel like that Daniel Brühl carried the day.
And Daniel Brühl is one of your favorite MCU villains.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Brühl is my favorite MCU villain. MCU. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
All right, back to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about that island and, like, the training and just the badassery on that island?
It was cool to watch. I'm glad they gave her, like, it felt like they gave him, like, enough of a backstory for the island. It did feel a little bit slow, to be honest, compared to the rest of the movie, but I think it was necessary, you know.
Yeah, I've seen articles saying there's about 20 minutes too many in the movie, and I was thoroughly entertained the whole time, so it's not a problem, but... The thing I loved about the island was that all of the women were boxers, athletes, Olympians, CrossFit enthusiasts. They were strong women. And I saw an article that said one Victoria's Secret model. But, yeah, I mean, they were strong women. They weren't just actresses that were brought in for the day. They were celebrating that strength, and they showed it on the film, which is kind of cool.
I don't know if I saw the same exact article as you, but... It mentioned all that, and it brought up that in addition to obviously giving them some stage fighting, you know, some choreography, choreography. They actually physically did resistance training preparing for it as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For the few of them who could, like, to fill out that tiny little bit more, you know, some people, I don't think, like, Robin Wright got in great shape, but I don't think that she's like a lug nut in the gym like some of these other ex-athletes.
A lug nut?
You know, like, I mean, you get some people like just live for the gym. Like, oh, I got to go get big for a movie role. Chris Hemsworth, I'm just going to throw on 30 pounds in 6 months. Like, that's not Robin Wright Penn's deal. She just stayed lean and toned up a bit and looked awesome. But like some of these other ones, like the ex-cop who was the she might have been the only black woman doing an active fighting scene. She was just beating the ever-loving crap out of someone in the beginning.
Oh, the one that was standing on the middle of that thing and, like, beating people up.
Yeah, like, she was an ex-cop and some kind of a professional or Olympic athlete on top of that. And they had her hit weights, despite the physique she already had, before they even got into the combat training. Like, they pulled, like, a 300 on this, but without the, you know, objectification that 300 had, and without the shortcuts, like the, you know, the adding airbrush, you know, enhanced abs to Fassbender, etc.
Fassbender.
Yeah. The only one who had a little bit of airbrushing CGI was Gal when they did the reshoots for the final action scene.
But she was pregnant, though, right?
Yeah, she was 5 months pregnant, so they had to put a green triangle on the middle of her costume and CGI it.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
I mean, if Serena can play tennis, or was it Venus?
Really?
Yeah, she was
Serena. It was Serena, yeah.
And she won.
Wow.
Pregnant, and didn't tell anyone until afterwards.
Wow.
She had the power of two people.
Yeah. Not fair.
Can you imagine,
but then,
like,
they
the
gave
onset,
up the high ground.
Can you imagine, like, the onset trainer is like, I don't care if you're 5 months pregnant.
If only,
we're going running.
If this movie took place more in the present and they just had Redbox and had seen Revenge of the Sith, they would have known better.
Yeah. No, you and McGregor.
In all fairness, yeah, like, at first, now, yeah, they're a warrior tribe, right? They should have known better no matter what. But I guess, like, they were going with the carelessness that I guess they thought all those men had sticks instead of boomsticks.
Yeah, just don't give up the high ground.
Sure. No, it's true. There's not really an excuse.
They weren't even going to get up there, those Germans.
Nope. Nope, they could have just ran Chris Pine up instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask this real quick. Was anybody else really surprised by the large influence of Greek mythology? Because, admittedly, I wasn't, like, a huge Wonder Woman fan, so I didn't know too much. But I guess, like, it is part of, like, her official story. Like, you know, it's just, like, there's, like, a large Greek mythology influence. I just was not expecting that.
I didn't see it either.
I'm like, oh, okay. Like, we're doing, like, a lot of Greek gods here. So I had no idea. Like, that was part of the Wonder Woman kind of mythos.
Wasn't she, like, from Kryptonia? Stankonia?
Yeah, she's from the Outkast album.
She's from Atlanta?
Yeah.
Where we're at?
She hangs out with Big Boy.
Well, I thought she was from Superman's planet.
Krypton. I guess not, no. I mean, Supergirl is from Krypton, but...
Oh.
Yeah. No, Wonder Woman was always from Earth, just a really different part of Earth.
Oh, I gotcha.
Superman is an alien. She's a god.
Oh, okay. I just never read the Wonder Woman comics.
Same here.
She's from the heavens.
Yeah. What's the difference at that point? A god and alien and just like, and these like superheroes? Like, it's just, it's all blurred in the comic book world.
Immortal?
I do have to say, I love the Wired article and how it said that at the end of the movie, she should have just basically written her email to be like, "Dear Bruce Wayne, I'll be taking over the Justice League now. Thanks." Yeah. I agree.
Aliens
immortal?
Well, it, apparently on Earth, Kryptonians might be.
Oh, really?
But on Krypton, they weren't.
Yeah, no, but Superman grew old. Remember Kevin Costner lecturing him at the farm?
Well, I mean, Superman grew to maturity.
I would say you're being too much of an Earthist by lumping all aliens together.
Yeah.
There could be different types.
But Gal Gadot aged.
Yeah, they all aged.
God's age?
Well, again, I mean, they matured. They didn't necessarily age as in degenerate.
Yeah, Robin Wright did not look degenerate to me.
Yeah.
No, she looked Robin Wright, she is just...
a goddess.
She's out between that and House, this and House of Cards, like she's outstanding.
It's all that rowing.
Sure. Apparently, yeah, from House of Cards. House of Cards basically trained her for Wonder Woman.
I wouldn't be surprised to see her on the next Olympic rowing team.
It was just her by herself. It's just like miles ahead of everybody. Yeah, like I said before, I do feel like it's a little slow, but it was just, it was necessary, because, like, when she left the island, like, I totally felt like she was, like, way stronger than, like, everybody else, just because of the fact that I just saw her among all these, like, super strong women, you know, so I never felt like she was, like, the weakest of the bunch, so, yeah, I think the island part definitely did its job, right? You never felt like Wonder Woman was out of her depth, strength-wise.
Well, and apparently, though, like, as she learned of her own nature, she gained power.
Yeah, apparently she wasn't like, not only was she like, was an Amazon, but she's also like the strongest Amazon out of all of them. So it's
she's
like,
the God Slayer, yeah. As they put it.
Yeah, I like that you said that, John, because I really enjoyed the scene where she was climbing the tower to get to the sword because she thought she needed it, and she starts falling, and then she's punching her way up the thing climbing.
She wrecked a lot of property.
Yeah,
like, they're going to look at that wall in the morning and be like, son of a bitch.
She climbed like Hulk did in the Hulk movies. He just jammed his hand in the side of a building.
But she had this smile on her face. I mean, she was excited about it.
And it didn't feel like ripped off or borrowed when they did it, but it was very much like when Tobey Maguire Spider-Man was discovering his abilities.
Or Avatar when he started running.
Yeah, she's very genuine, very earnest.
Yeah, like when she did it, she felt shocked. It didn't play like they played their hand too hard, I guess.
Ernest goes to camp when Ernest finds out that nothing can hit him and he gains all that confidence.
Exactly like Ernest goes to camp.
All right, I like to see someone make that comparison.
I'm going to sound a little sexist right now, but the movie definitely picked up a bit when a dude finally came into the movie. when Chris Pine conveniently crash landed on this island full of Amazon women, I might add.
Yeah.
You mean when he harbingered the arrival of the Amazons saving the day?
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
I like that look, like he just gave her, and I was just like, oh, all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, didn't he go, wow, or something like that?
You think he practiced that in the mirror? I'm like, oh, I don't look, I don't look starstruck enough. I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He could have rested his entire performance on the face acting he did during the Truth Lasso scene.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. I was in a theater. I saw it, and I was just working in San Francisco, and I ran, and I actually caught like an Uber after work, caught in this huge theater. It was like a almost sold out, huge balcony, downstairs, packed theater. And when that scene where he was in the jacuzzi, like doing his little foot, like there was a lot of like, ooh, like there was like a big reaction to him. So I think he was a fan favorite.
It's like, yeah. I'm above average.
It was funny. Her answers were just so straightforward because what context does she have? She kind of reminded me of Drax.
Oh, yeah.
From Guardians with her just deadpan answers.
I tell you what, though. So that Truth Lasso, when they wanted to get the truth out of him, they made something really corny be really funny.
Oh, yeah. Because it looked like he was having like a little mini orgasm every time. Like he was like, ugh. Okay.
You know. He's like, I kind of want to lie. What are you doing, Steve? Nothing.
Well, I think what helped is that they didn't call it the Lasso of Truth. They called it like the Lasso of some fancy name or something. So that definitely helps.
Something.
Veritas.
Veritas, I think. I don't know. But yeah. Maybe. But yeah, honestly, like all the scenes between Chris Pratt and Chris Pine, and Gal, like they were all great. They have like great chemistry together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. I love the scenes in the boat, and unfortunately, unlike Mark, he was in a packed theater. I was in a theater at noontime in North Georgia, and there was no one there. So there's no one to laugh at all the funny little beats, which is kind of disappointing because I was laughing.
Why don't you sleep next to me? Well, being a gentleman.
You don't sleep with women?
No, I sleep with women. Wait.
You know, I'm kind of above average.
Not right to presume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good scene.
Yeah, every scene. Had a smile on the face. Too. Yeah.
And she read all the texts on intercourse.
Oh, yeah.
All 12 books.
Exactly.
He's like, can I read those?
Oh, you wouldn't like it.
They came to the conclusion that men aren't necessary for anything but procreation.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, this was like the 40s. I feel like oral sex hadn't even made its way to America yet, you know?
Great burn, ancient.
Well, this is 14, so it's not even close, yeah? Or something like that, 15? Yeah.
World War. It reminds me of that that Maggie Gyllenhaal movie about the first vibrator.
Oh, yeah. Hysteria.
Like, it's hysteria.
Oh, yeah. So I love the way... I just love the London that they set up when they eventually arrive there by boat. Like, it was like World War One era London. It was just like really grimy, like a little bit Victorian. It was just like, I don't know, like these old timey settings. Like, they just, there's a certain charm to them. You know, I think they pull it off. Like,
it's disgusting.
Like, yeah, she didn't like it at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
it's not for everyone.
Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoy like these kind of grimy, kind of industrial revolution type settings. You know,
like a Sherlock Holmes. It's earlier than 1914, but I kind of love that grimy.
I think Guy Ritchie does that well. He knows how to make things look, you know, used or worn or lived in. That's what I liked most about Rogue One. It wasn't like shiny spaceships. They were dirty, beat up spaceships that looked used. They didn't look like, you know.
Oh, A New Hope, right? I mean, they fell to like that garbage chute. The whole universe was dirty.
What a gross place. Space is terrible. Yeah. Listen to podcast 97.
The perils of space travel.
No, you're right. And then I also like the introduction of Chris Pine's like secretary.
Oh my god,
Etta, like Lucy Davis from The Office. I've never seen a character like that. She wasn't like in love with Pine. She just kind of did her job.
She wanted to do a good job, but she wanted the vote.
Yep, and she put Wonder Woman in 225 outfits.
Yeah. And she high kicked in them.
Yeah.
This collar. It's strangling me.
I said Mitch Hedberg would be proud of that.
I don't blame it.
I love when she was like walking. Yeah. I love when she's walking out of the dress door with like the sword and shield in hand. All right.
Oh yeah.
Oh, no. It was so adorable when she was like, "I can do the revolving door myself," and she ran in.
Oh yeah, she like timed it.
I mean, I do the same thing. Whenever
that
I
was that was like
door.
Nick Cage and Sean Connery in The Rock with the flames, or like in Galaxy Quest when they were getting to the core reactor.
Watch out, Mark! I'm going to do that to the next revolving door we come to.
Just sticking a sword and a shield.
Listen, there's a lot of pressure when it comes to revolving doors. Like, you don't want to be like the person that just kind of ruins the flow, you know, where you just hold everything up. I'm like, oh, sorry, guys.
Oh, I'm the awkward person who will jump into the little thing with you.
Yeah, it
oh
gets bad.
It's like, what are you doing?
I like to make it weird.
You she doesn't have a sword.
Like, you couldn't wait 3 seconds?
Yeah.
It's more fun this way. I got to keep it interesting.
What I do is I fake going in, then Megan jumps in, and I let her go.
And then I run into you, and I spill coffee on myself.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I feel badly now for Megan.
What if you're the guy who never leaves? Like, you just keep going around and around and around.
And then that led to that scene where she just beats up those dudes and Chris Pine's like, I'll protect you.
Oh yeah, and then she blocks that bullet.
Yeah. Oh yeah, with her bracelet.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a special name for those. I read about them.
The amulet of bracelet.
The bracers of something.
Bracers.
Yeah, bracers. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real?
Well, the bracers are just the name of that piece of armor.
Oh, gotcha.
Not hers. It would be like the bracers of something, or, you know, like Athena's bracers. I don't know. It's
sure.
I'm just, I got nothing.
Sure. You were doing so well, though.
Like, no, Gal, though, she just, like, had this cool, like, she was kind of naive, but then she was also, like, really strong-willed. Like, sure. It's a character I haven't seen.
She had a strong moral compass. I do love the scene at the top of the Watchtower when Chris, she's become disillusioned. You know, everything is going wrong for her. She's killed the wrong person. And Chris Pine is like, well, we got to go fight everybody else and shut this down just because that might save some people. And she doesn't want to join him. And he doesn't lecture her. And she doesn't throw a tantrum. And he just says, okay, I got to go save people. And he goes. It's such a, I feel like it's such a grown-up moment for a superhero movie.
There was just no mansplaining.
Yeah, he's like, okay, you do you. I get it. You're heartbroken, but I got to go help people.
I wish they would have added a 10-minute scene where Chris Pine explains jazz to Wonder Woman.
Oh. I have to that movie.
I think he should just, listen, like, steal. He should just cops Ryan Gosling's kind of monologue from La La Land.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of people just kind of banging together and just...
But he realizes he has these life ambitions and he has to do his own thing, and they'll succeed on their own.
Yeah, they don't have to compromise. They got to do their own thing.
They'll get what they want and they'll be unhappy later when they see each other at a bar.
You know, it's really hard to do a Ryan Gosling voice. Like, he's got like a really weird voice if you think about it. It's like, hey, well, just, you know.
But high pitch too. Like, maybe hold your nose when you do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey guys,
I can do that.
I can't do it. You're right. That's a really hard voice to do.
It's just, like,
I'm Ryan Gosling.
Is he intentionally talking like that? Like, what's your normal voice, Ryan? Like, you know, this is what I sound like. I can't do it. I can't do a Ryan Gosling voice.
You're that's like my bad impersonations, man. I like it.
You're Michael Caine.
He's just only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
She
was only 15.
No, it's
oh
it's,
god. She was only 15.
Yeah, you're. Hey. I think you're just getting worse.
Yeah, I agree.
You sound more like Ryan Brown from Cocktail doing an Australian accent.
She was only 15.
That's Ryan Brown.
We can't watch The Trip anymore because this goes on for hours afterwards.
I try. I really do.
Sure. I have an idea. Why don't we take a quick break and work on our different impersonations?
It will only be 15 minutes.
Yeah. We'll see you in a little bit.
I've made Laz go, ugh, about 8 times this pod. I'm doing good.
When I say pod, you say...
pie.
Wait a minute.
Whoa, whoa. What's
Robert,
going on, Kyle?
Take your headphones off real quick.
Okay, sorry.
John, what the hell is this?
Oh, I don't know. Robert invited me over. And
yeah, I don't know.
Idea.
This is kind of awkward. Are we doing like a promo or something?
I don't know. I wish he'd put on his pants, though.
Yeah, he's like dancing around. He's talking about Shark Dropper.
I think he's looking for the baby oil.
Anyways, Robert, what are we doing? Huh? What are we doing?
What was that?
What are we doing?
I can put my headphones back on?
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing a promo for Shark Dropper.
Oh, okay.
That podcast we do that has improv, and we just talk about our daily lives and stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I still wish you'd find your pants.
Where can I find it?
Oh, wait. Are we supposed to wear sharkdropper.com?
Church on time.
Hey, welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. How was that?
Keanu Reeves?
No, it was Ryan Gosling.
I thought you were just like being like a cool cat.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah, I was working on my Ryan Gosling impersonation during the break. I guess I still need more time.
I thought it was Keanu.
Really?
Yeah.
So if I want to do Keanu, I just got to do Ryan Gosling.
Exactly.
Oh, shit. All right.
Broke the source code.
Who do I impersonate to get to Ryan Gosling, though? That's the real question.
Let's think about... oh, gosh.
Michael Caine. She
You're
was only
supposed to blow
15.
The bloody doors off. Oh,
too soon.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Or
I'm a,
did you go there because he's
a
source code?
Hey, I'm a boxer.
How do you do a Neve Campbell impression? Do you remember that joke from Parks and Recreation?
No.
Yeah, it's like, how do you do impersonation of Nev Campbell?
This is an incredibly weird aside, but there was a movie with Nev Campbell, Matthew Perry, and Oliver Platt. I don't remember the name of it, but I have Roger Ebert's I Hated This Movie book, and I was reading it, and Roger Ebert completely stopped reviewing it, and for about five paragraphs just talked about how beautiful Nev Campbell was. You should look it up. It's really funny. Like, he's just basically like, man, Nev Campbell, she's something else. And then, like, he just kept going.
Party of Five came back?
Yeah. Party of Five came back.
What's that?
All right. Okay. I think we have one more listener question. John Lemmigood.
Yeah, this question comes from Twitter user Isaac's Haunted Beard.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how his beard got haunted, but he asks, if you had to pick another horror film to be adapted as a TV series, which would you pick?
All right. So I was putting a lot of thought into this, and I think Ash vs. Evil Dead, since it is a TV show, works well because they left it open-ended, and it left it with like a hero protagonist. So you would need kind of like a similar type film. Like, you couldn't base one off of Freddy or Chucky. You would need it to follow around like Buddy Roddy Piper from They Live.
No, I got it. Get Out. You find out the cell of people was spread all over the country, and they're abducting people all over.
You know, Get Out, actually, you know, that plot, that could have worked as like an American Horror Story season.
It gets bigger and bigger. And find out more.
Wow.
Did you watch Get Out, Lazabeth?
No, not yet.
I'm fine. All right, so we'll stay away from spoilers for that.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I really like the plot.
Go watch it, and then we'll start talking about it.
No.
Okay. Let's see.
Like, they live.
They Live?
Yeah.
Oh, you could totally make They Live into a show, yeah. That could last for a long time if you wanted to.
I just see that happening, because you have, like, a protagonist running around, Roddy Piper. His fist fighting his way across the country like Russell Crowe.
Rest in peace, Roddy Piper.
Or What We Do in the Shadows.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What We Do in the Shadows, yeah.
Isn't Scream a TV series at the moment?
Yeah. I refuse to acknowledge that that happened.
Yeah, it's on MTV, right? So it's not...
Yeah, it's just a bunch of MTV teenagers.
Sure.
Getting killed.
So, having recently seen Alien Covenant and thinking back to Prometheus, like, maybe not as an ongoing series with a whole bunch of seasons, but I'd like to see Prometheus instead told as like an 8 or 10 episode miniseries, so that they could explore all of the facets of that movie more appropriately. Like, they dumped so much content onto us that it was impossible to give us a sleek manicured resolution to any of them.
Yeah, like that. Who makes the hoodies of the engineers?
Like, is there an engineer, like, of this creator race who is just a tailor? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, does he make hoodies?
Maybe there's, like, a space Abercrombie and Fitch.
Ooh.
I can just imagine the catalog of, like, all these, like, jacked engineers just, like, modeling, like, the hoodies.
In the deleted scenes, there's going to be billboards.
Yeah.
I like that. What about like It Follows? Every episode, it's just a different person being followed.
Oh yeah.
Or the Conjuring could lend itself pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it counts, but like, I really liked Specs and Tucker and what's your name?
Oh.
Annalise. Yeah. Like, it'd be cool.
See their adventures.
Yeah, just like the different cases that they will go on, right? That'd be cool to watch.
We need that show.
You know, okay, wait, if we were the producers and writers of that show, right? Of the pre-Insidious show, I'd say that you don't necessarily have one episode be one adventure. Sometimes it's one episode, sometimes it's three episodes per adventure, and you don't let the audience know if it's part one or not. So at the end, when the episode is getting to the end, they don't know if they're in for a cliffhanger or a resolution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's all this creepy buildup and stuff, right? Like, oh, we could mess with people. Mark, call your producer friends.
I'm associate producing right now.
Call people up. We're nailing this.
Hello? Listen to this podcast in 3 weeks.
Okay.
Goodbye. Yeah. We got a show, guys.
All right. Nice.
I nominate How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
I love. Well, I guess it could be killing people. It could be American Horror Story.
Or she could just go around writing different articles and screwing up people's lives.
Like Swim Fan. But 10 episodes of Swim Fan.
Oof.
I want to see a 24 episodes a season of Swim Fan.
Wow. And it's an hour long without commercials.
Yep. So Swim Fan shows up. She meets this guy. He has a girlfriend. That's the first 5 episodes.
Uh-huh.
6 through 10, she kind of like starts get weaseling into his life. 11 through 15, they finally hook up. 15 through 20, he's kind of like, is she crazy? Is she not? And then 21 through, we'll add 25 is everything else.
Right.
We're talking The Wire level good.
Is this the final answer? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days when you're hiking.
Actually, call up your producer friend. That's the idea you want to pitch. All right.
Okay. Hey, producer.
I want royalties.
Listen to this podcast in 3 weeks again.
All right.
Don't hang up after the last part.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you for those wonderful listener questions, everyone. As always, keep sending them in. And remember, the weirder, the better. Just don't expect an official answer or any type of enlightening kind of truth.
And don't send us a question and answer it with a 7-paragraph long answer.
Yeah. Guy who I called out last episode.
Isaac?
It was something.
Oh, it was Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan.
It was Dylan from Melbourne, Australia.
How was that submitted? Not by Twitter, right?
He sent a
DM
carrier pigeon.
Sure.
Smoke signals.
It's forever.
Yeah, he burned down the whole rainforest to send his to send his question.
It was like unrolled it and just kept rolling down the floor, down the stairs.
I mean, we're running out of trees. Find more.
Like he sent me a scroll. Like, yeah. Rolled.
Dylan.
All right. I think it's time to jump back into the topic of Wonder Woman. I actually wanted to start off real quick by saying how much I loved the introduction of Steve Trevor's crew. Right.
Oh, yeah.
He basically just goes to that bar and he's just like, hey, you're coming with me. I'm not gonna pay you or that much, so
right. And then they give a shrug and then they go on a deadly, deadly, deadly adventure.
Sure.
I like when she had the band in multiple languages and then she trumped him on ancient Greek.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah. No, I love the introduction of what's his name? Charlie, right?
Ewan Bremmer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like, oh, like he's good with his fists. I'm like, that's not Charlie.
Dude, so that guy was playing a strikingly similar role to that which he had in The Rundown.
Yep, The Rundown.
Another drunken Scotsman who actually wore his kilt into battle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and when he was fanning his briefs out at the campfire.
Oh, you saw his tiny white, whatever. Like that was hilarious.
I have a question, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have somebody on a team who you know could fist fight, but you don't know can take a punch? Or would you rather have a guy that can take a lot of punches?
I want the guy who can take a lot of punches.
A lot of punches will buy me a lot of time.
What do you think, Laz?
Definitely a guy who could take a lot of punches.
Yeah, just give that guy a gun.
Yeah. He lost his sniping hand.
Sure, sure. And you also had the displaced Native American
chief.
Oh yeah, for profit, right?
It's a very motley crew. What's funny is that like there's it's another similar plot beat to Captain America 1 where he also had like his own kind of crew.
Like, yeah, the Howling Commandos.
Yeah, and they were also like a motley crew. So it's just like, yeah, it's like another, you know, checkmark of something that's similar to Captain America here.
I like this Motley Crue better.
Yeah.
Because Captain America, there's a scene in Captain America where they have to zip line onto a moving train in the Alps.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make my team do that.
I think the core story there is the love story of Bucky and his plums.
Yeah, but it all led to Bucky trying to buy plums in Civil War.
You know what it was, like, the Howling Commandos, like, you knew that they were just, like, elite, you knew they were very skilled, but Steve Trevor's crew, like, they were just a bunch of drunks, and you couldn't really trust them. I think that's why I like
it
more.
It was almost like the Indiana Jones sidekicks.
Yeah.
Like, with the old Indiana Jones, the real Indiana Jones movies, I should say, like, how, like, you remember...
What, the three of them?
Yeah, what are you talking about, John?
No, like, just how his how the people who help Indiana Jones, like, they almost create as much trouble as they solve.
Yeah, in the first three.
It's like the Expendables crew.
And the only three?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why you say only three. There's only three.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so the three Indiana Jones films.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one guy was, like, too shaken up to shoot. And then he grumbled himself to sleep.
I don't think he ever redeemed himself in that regard, right? Did he ever, like...
I don't think so.
It's just like... Because, like, I remember it was like, oh, they're going to set up a scene where it's just like he makes, like, the amazing shot that saves the day. And that never really happened, right? Yeah,
they get him singing, and then he won't stop.
Yeah.
Oh. That was a good gag.
Sure. when
they're stealthily walking through the woods, and he's singing.
But I want to tell you something. They're when they first get to No Man's Land and in the trenches, and when Wonder Woman has her first big, like, coming out scene, that was, I think, maybe my favorite scene of the year.
Breathtaking.
I really liked the little argument beforehand, though. They were both right. He had experience with the war. He knew you couldn't cross it. It wasn't a place that was safe, and he was trying to find a way around. He wasn't trying to delay her, but she also knew she was different than everybody else, and she was going to go for it. Mm-hmm. I liked that. It was a little conflict, but they were both right.
Yeah.
I have an interesting
that happens a lot, doesn't it? Like, it also at the very end, when she couldn't comprehend the potentially evil nature of man, without the influence of Ares, and like you brought up earlier, Mark, and he's just like, well, I gotta go do this, you know. I understand that you don't understand, but I have to go do what I can to save as many people as I can.
I think
now.
I think it was funny and awesome. Oh, go ahead, Megan.
Oh no, I just like how they present both sides of a lot of the arguments. They don't make it one sided. It's nice. You don't see that in a lot of movies. Mark has a huge problem with movies essentially because characters lie and it leads to issues, but they present logical arguments on both sides in this movie.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, to that effect too, and also about like how they both kind of owned what they knew with great proficiency, right? And experience, like I read an article and just the title I didn't like. I didn't like the story that it spun, if you will. They were saying that Chris Pine is the superhero girlfriend that more movies need. But like their relationship, despite the fact that there was a love interest there, right? That there was an interest, a romantic interest, it felt very genderless in the sense that it didn't have a distinct masculine and feminine. It was just two people who were interested in each other, and no one was really ever the damsel. It's just that socially he knew how to guide her, and physically she's more powerful. She could handle things that he couldn't comprehend anyone could handle. But I didn't feel a lot of damsel in distress. It was just like, oh, you're in trouble. I'm gonna help you now. Oh, you're in trouble. I'm gonna help you now. Like, you know,
they had each other's back.
Yeah, it didn't have any of this anyone needing to be saved. It was more, I'm capable and I'm protecting you now. Sure. And I don't know, that it's weird as a guy too, like in this, sorry, you know, like kind of, there's so much manness in films and maybe not enough womanness or genderlessness. And this felt very genderless a lot of times in a good way.
Yeah, I told Mark after he saw it, one of the scenes I loved was when she's running across No Man's Land, and she definitely steals the scene, but there's a point when she's going towards the machine gun nest, and they're hitting her with all the bullets. She can deflect them, but she wasn't able to move, and the guys were just like, she's taking all the fire, let's back her up, and they come in behind her and start taking the guys
out. Right, and it was like, there's our opportunity. Let's seize the opportunity. It wasn't even like saving her, right?
They were a team. They were like a unit.
Yeah, I thought so. In that scene too, the way that they did that, I was talking to Mark about this the other day, but so when she goes out there at first, right, and she's deflecting some bullets, and then she gets closer and they all start training the machine guns on her, and like you said, she basically was forced to stop. Even though she could deflect, she couldn't move forward. She even like lowered her stance, you know, to take the force. Like, there was something about the way that they staged that scene that felt, dare I say, perfect to me. I don't know, that scene really captured my attention more than I feel like most comic book movies have the ability to do.
What do you think, Laz?
I was about to say, like, the the No Man's Land scene, I was actually in the bathroom when that happened. I got back in the theater like towards like the tail end of the scene where she was like or the guys had already climbed over and started kicking butt. But yeah, it was just you know what it was, that like I usually just like go to the bathroom before like every movie just to make sure, but I had like an energy drink that day. Yeah, it was just like I just had a little extra in the tank, I guess. So I was like, I'm not gonna wait like another hour. I'm gonna go. So no, the tail end of that scene looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's like, I think very rarely scenes become iconic. Like, when's the last movie scene? Like there's scenes we like, but what's like the last movie scene that's been almost instantly iconic?
The runway chase in Fast 7, like those. Or was that Fast 6?
Oh yeah, Fast 6, the 20-mile runway.
Yeah.
Oh, and the car diving into the ditch off the bridge. And
oh, Fast 5. When they surfed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Wired article that I shared earlier. Spoiler: if you've seen Cat or Wonder Woman articles on Movies, Films, and Flicks Facebook, it was probably me. Where they were just talking about the hero shots and how the J.J. Abrams had somebody else look at the last shots of Force Awakens, and a female director suggested that he add a hero shot of Rey because she needed that, and it became a moment. Yeah. And this had, what, like 25-plus hero shots of Diana?
Just looking gangster. However, she did fit her sword in a very weird spot.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Oh, the dress? Awesome.
There's the Funko Pop of it now. So your point is moot.
Oh, like when she had like that dress on and she had.
Yeah. When she had the sword going between her butt cheeks.
Yeah.
It's a magic sword. Maybe it shrinks.
No, wasn't she wearing like her regular outfit like underneath that dress or something?
Or... Oh, was she?
I don't know.
Well, because like.
Sword's still going between her butt cheeks.
Let's just back it up a few seconds there to when she's walking next to that hoity-toity woman and sizing her up. Steal her outfit. That's
She's like a foot taller than that lady, but just like, you know what? That dress will work on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, he had that guy fake an accent. Chris Pine had that dude fake forgetting invitation.
Oh,
yeah. But after No Man's Land, they General Ludendorff.
Yeah. Oh, Ludendorff, okay.
Played by my homeboy Danny Houston from 30 Days a Night. But that was a funny scene with Chris Pine just being cheeky.
And he was doing his German accent too. And he was just so, like, I can't even do it. He was so extreme with his German accent. Like, how could you forget the invitation? Like, it was just. He was like, I don't know. It was like a propagandist.
That's how all 1914 Germans spoke.
How do you forget the invitation, you fool?
It's like every gangster in Chicago was like, "Mash, eh?
Yeah.
Mash, eh?
There is Deutschland."
Yeah. Und Scheiße Fräulein.
You know what was awesome? Is like like right before they go to the gala, you know, he's telling Wonder Woman, like, you have to stay here. But everybody in the audience knows, like, oh, she's going to be in the party.
Yeah.
Like, she's obviously not going to stay there. So, man.
She has not listened to him.
I don't think
How did you guys feel about the doctor? What'd they nickname her? Dr. Death or something?
Dr. Poison.
Dr. Poison. What did you think about her?
I thought it was awesome. It was a nice little side thing that you've got not just a female hero, but you got a female villain too.
Yeah.
And she shows her mercy.
Yeah, they gave her a little humanity. And at one point, when they were talking about her backstory, they show a picture of her before her face was disfigured.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? It was like an old newspaper clipping. And even though at the time you saw, you know, it was in the pure evil stage of her in the movie, if you will, like, I remember thinking, like, what's going on with her? Like, how did she get here?
Yeah. I read, like, this really interesting fan theory, right? It's nothing official. But, so this takes place in DC Universe, but they're speculating that the gas that she worked on that kind of gave General Ludendorff that kind of, that feel-good super strength, like...
Is it Vita Race?
Could it have been a prototype of the Venom kind of serum that was used by Bane? Like later on?
Because
it does take place in DC Universe, right?
And Poison Ivy. No, wait. Bane's, yeah. That's Batman and Robin.
Yeah. And Wonder Woman does let her live at the end of the movie. So you're speculating like, yeah, you know, she goes on to just kind of, you know, to develop even more kind of gas and serums. And maybe that was just a prototype of the serum that would be later used by Bane, you know, decades from now.
Ooh.
I just thought it'd be interesting. I like it. You know, it's whatever.
Or I also love the scene between Dr. Poison and Ludendorff.
Oh, yeah.
Where they walk into those German generals and they throw the gas in there.
Yeah.
And then he throws in one gas mask and she's like, the gas mask won't help. That's Russian.
They don't know that.
Yeah.
And they both kind of like chuckle. They're so excited.
These two evil Germans just sat there going, hey.
That was twisted.
She peeks in the window and they're just rising.
She like sticks her thumbs on her temples and does like the little moose things with your fingers. Yeah, I don't know. I like that scene. It was just two German evil people chuckling.
Sure. I don't know how you guys felt, but I think at like this point in the movie where, you know, they're just, they're riding away from the gala. They're trying to stop like the poison and the war and all that. Like the movie just kind of fell into like a regular standard superhero type of movie, you know, where it's just like, there was like this big fight, this big CGI fight between Wonder Woman and Ares.
And
yeah. And I think the only one good part I liked about kind of the end was the Steve Trevor sacrifice. But yeah, the whole like kind of the last part of the movie, it was just like, it felt kind of like a letdown.
Yeah, I did not care one bit about the CGI smack around.
Yeah. If you watch enough movies, read enough stories, you kind of draw logical conclusions. It almost had to go there because you know she's in Justice League. You saw what happens in, you know, Batman versus Superman. So she's going to live. How many real ways could that go?
Sure.
Yeah.
Creative thoughts, welcome. I do love, though, that she was right. She was ultimately right about everything at the end because Ares dies, and all the Germans like are lifted of this weight of oppression.
Yeah,
and
everyone starts hugging each other. Oh, hi.
Yeah. Hey, now everybody's happy. We can start World War II now.
Yeah, now we can take off a few years.
Yeah.
We can get heavily, well, they'll probably blame all the, you know, the Germans got heavily taxed and everything like that, which read.
Oh, Beast Morgan.
Which read, I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, but no.
I just think like, I mean, I was surprised to find out it was the Sir What's-His-Face that was Ares the whole time. But I just, like, the entire...
Sir What's-His-Face?
Yeah.
I love it.
I just didn't buy, like, his motivation. Like, because to me, like, every good villain needs a really, really good motivation. And, like, the whole, like, yeah, humans are just terrible. They're evil creatures. They're not as good as gods. I'm just like, you know, I just... It's something I've seen before, and I don't think you really it didn't really convince me. So like, it's just like the villain just, I don't know. I just didn't think it was good.
And then he got all like iron suited up, and I was like, oh brother.
Yeah.
I was like, this. I wish it would have been Lupin in a cardigan fighting the whole time.
I like that when they showed the flashbacks that Ares just legit looked like that.
Yeah.
Except cut, you know, except with text.
I like how he still had like the mustache back in the flashbacks. It's like, you're the god of war. You're taking on Zeus, but check out my cool mustache, man.
Sweet stash, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, but that scene though, I mean, even though I was really thinking about Captain America, Pine really pulled that off where at the end he smiled.
Yeah, it was like a bittersweet moment there, right?
And then the dialogue, he said, like, I love you.
You just wanted Ares to pull off a good abracadabra?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was just, yeah, I think, the first three-fourths of the movie is good. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Any other way you could end that movie, though, which is the unfortunate part. Like, how do you resolve this movie?
I'm just going to totally stay away from World War II.
Yeah, what did she do in World War II? That's a good question.
Well, she went back to the island.
Back on her island. She
read some more books.
Was she?
She wrote 13 through 24.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Megan did say one thing that's interesting. At the very end, when she's looking at Trevor's face, like, Gal Gadot's come a long way with her, you know, acting since, like, Fast 4. Like, she nails this scene at the end with, like, her reaction to the picture.
Yeah, she had a very multifaceted reaction. There was pain. There was happiness.
Yep.
It was good.
It was good face acting.
I was proud of her.
She face acted the shit out of that.
Sure.
Out of that moment.
Yeah.
She did a lot of good face acting in this film.
Yeah.
She's got a good face.
And it didn't feel like acting. She wasn't Daniel Day-Lewis out there.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know who she is as a person, but she seems like a nice person. Everything I've read about her, I mean, the director just sees her as this embodiment of Wonder Woman and her morals and ideals. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like she's this real nice person, and that she's able to convey that on screen. Nope. If she's not, then good for her. You're a great actress.
And Patty Jenkins took Charlize Theron in Monster, won an Oscar. Do you think this movie, I'm predicting right now it's going to be nominated for Best Picture for a Golden Globe.
For Golden Globe?
Yeah.
I mean, if the Golden Globes were next week, yeah, right? I don't know. It's still too early to do any award show kind of forecasting. But
I'll put $10 on it right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be nominated for an Emmy.
What?
It's going to be nominated for a Kids' Choice Award.
For sure. It's going to win like every MTV Kids' Choice Award, Nickelodeon Awards.
Uh-huh. Best generic rock theme song.
Oh, you did a lot better with it this time.
Yeah, that was more like it. It sounds like the song at the end of the latest Bourne movie.
Sure.
I need to know now.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what's interesting?
How do I know that? Sorry, John.
Oh, God.
No, go ahead.
This movie didn't have like any post-credit scenes that I know of, anyway.
I
read about this.
14 minutes of credits. Uh-huh. This is, you know, I'm gonna make my real complaint of this movie. I sat through 14 minutes of credits and I got no post-credit scene.
So I read about this. The director commented on it. They asked her about it, and she said that she feels like, as a director, when you end a movie and you're happy with that ending, that's an exclamation point on the movie. The end should be, you know, everything you wanted it to be. And the post-credit, she said if there had been a good pitch that fit, she would have done it. But she was happy with where it is. You don't need to look forward to the next movie because this movie was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever, Patty. Just tell me.
Yeah, Patty, let us know.
Take your feet.
No, I agree that the film did not need one at all. None of these films do, though. But it's just that we, you know, the fans have come to expect and look forward to these things, and I felt denied it. I almost feel like
Chris Pine is parachuting.
It should have been in the trailer. Yeah. It should have said no post-credit scenes written at the bottom. Just the whole time you see the whole 90-second trailer, it should have said no post-credit scene.
No, at the very end of the credits, it should have said, ha ha,
it just shows a black screen.
Sure.
Nope.
I think there needs to be.
It just shows Dr. Poison doing the moose ears.
Someone needs to make an app. Does this movie have a post-credit scene? Yes or no? No? Hey, I'm leaving.
Yeah, exactly. That, that'd be a great app.
I did read some speculation.
No post-credit scene.
What's that?
What?
I was so upset when there was no post-credit scene that I just left.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't just stay?
Show them, John.
Yeah.
John stayed for the next screening to see if it was left out of that one.
Yeah. I actually read some speculation that the end of the movie is actually kind of a... itself sort of a teaser for Justice League, because this movie takes place after Batman vs. Superman.
Thank goodness.
But at the end of the movie, like, you see her kind of look off to the distance. You hear, like, this boom. And they're speculating. That's just, like, that's just part of the Justice League movie. Like, maybe that's a scene from Justice League movie, right?
It's Superman coming back to life.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought he died.
Yeah.
No, it's Chris Pine parachuting in modern day. Like, man, that was a long journey.
Oh, how did I get here?
Just tossed himself off.
Sure.
It's like Interstellar. He was just, you know, he took a trip to a planet where there were like 25 years and 5 seconds.
But the other way around, because he didn't age.
Yeah.
He Doctor Who'd it.
He went around the other side of a black hole.
John knows what's that like.
Wait, which one?
Laz.
Yeah.
When you were space traveling?
Totally.
And got attacked by aliens?
Yeah. Apollo 18.
I, so emotionally scarred by that entire episode. So it's nice to see a DC movie not be a total turd, right?
That's kind of how I felt.
I mean, it's batting with the
it's like. It's like when someone put the limbo bar at like the 9-foot mark, right? Like you just gotta walk on. You just gotta walk. You don't even have to like bend your back. Like just go. So
yeah.
I mean, it's not a perfect movie, but I feel like it's probably one of the it's the best comic book movie so far this year. Well, there's Logan.
Guardians and Logan.
I think I like this more than Guardians too, not more than Logan, but yeah, it's the best DC movie
in years.
Yeah,
like I'm at like that's tough. I couldn't happily say that Logan is. I love all three of them, but I have a heart. Like I don't know what I like better, Wonder Woman or this. I think they're two totally different films.
Earlier, by calling Logan a film and this a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a popcorn flick. Logan's a film.
Sure. I think what I loved about this is that it didn't take itself too seriously like Man of Steel and Batman vs Superman did.
You know, there's no crab fishing.
It wasn't just gloomy and just like really dour. Like it was just kind of, it was lighthearted in a lot of moments.
It was a yarn.
Yeah. No, it was just a very enjoyable movie.
I think that if you took the levity of Thor, the first Thor, which I actually had a minor complaint that it wasn't enough about the action, even though all the levity and fish out of water was awesome. And if you took the proper balance of the Man of Steel, dark world, dark superhero, I feel like this is the happy medium of the two.
Sure.
Guys, yeah. I'm super excited for that new Taika Waititi movie.
Oh, Thor 2 is going to be great.
Thor 3.
Oh, yeah, Thor 3.
Because Thor 2 is okay.
There's only one.
Yeah, there's only one.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
There's no, like, dark elf who gets, I'm going to get the ether.
God, that movie upset me so much.
I got the ether. Oh, wait. I'm not. I lost the ether. Natalie Portman acts not like Natalie Portman. She was so un-Natalie Portman in that.
It was a paycheck performance.
Like, yeah, it was.
In
it.
She was in it for the cash, which I don't blame her for.
She got a villa in Italy.
She's got a family. She's got to provide. Don't judge.
That's right.
Sure, sure. Because Natalie Portman's hurting.
Those Harvard grads, guys.
Yeah.
Tuition ain't cheap.
No, especially at Harvard. So I'm actually, for the first time, I can honestly say I'm excited for Justice League, just based on this one movie.
Yeah, same. I saw the trailer. It was before I had even watched Wonder Woman, and I was pretty impressed by the trailer. I was prepared to be annoyed.
They're battling a bunch of faceless blobs again.
Yeah.
You mean the gleep-glop aliens from the dream sequence in Batman versus Superman?
Yes, the gleep-glop.
Yeah. The gleep-glops like are when back they again. Bzz,
bzz, like, I don't know what to call them. They're just like, it's like when they bzz, bzz, and do their little alien communication, I feel like the bracketed subtitles just say gleep-glop.
Gleep-glop. If I got to see one more faceless alien, that's why I like Logan so much.
I'll say, like, even if Justice League still isn't that great, and, like, the rest of the Justice League solo movies like Aquaman, The Flash, like, if they're not all that great, like, I'm still happy because Wonder Woman just, I think it just makes it all worth it. Just like this one movie, if that makes any sense. Right?
Yeah. No, I love it. I love this movie. And I knew Gal Gadot was going to do a good job. I called it, didn't I?
You did. I didn't want to see it. I was disappointed.
No, when she got cast way back in the day.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to see it.
I was like upset when I heard that she was getting
cast. The main criticism was that she was like, yeah, she's like totally skinny or something like that. And, yeah. But I don't know. Like in real life, she's like, she was like in the Israeli army. She was like, she did like combat training. So she could hold her own in real life.
Right. I think I was just stoked that Giselle from Fast and Furious had a big role. I was excited.
Well, they said she had to train real hard for the movie, too.
Yeah. Sure. And she's still somewhere on that 20-mile runway trying to find her way back.
She's going to come back, guys. Fast 19.
She comes back. She's like, that runway was really long.
Fast 19, guys. She's going to be there.
Oh,
poor Han.
Han might come back, too.
How?
Yeah, because now that we all like die. Jason Statham's character, we have to have Han not dead, obviously.
Yeah, he can be like, I didn't kill him. I switched his body out, and I put him in a prison.
He's going to be like, oh, yeah, back in part 8, you thought that I killed him? No, I had him land in a ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, he's in Bali right now.
Oh, and that bomb on your porch really wasn't from me. It was from somebody else.
That was from Hank.
Whoa. I want to see this movie now.
Because Jason Statham murdered about 40 people in the beginning of Furious 7.
I mean, they made him look like a badass.
He killed a ton of cops. And then later on, The Rock is like, you're in the military? Best buds. And then at the end, he's Uncle Shaw. Yeah, he becomes Uncle Shaw at the end. But he murdered many people.
Sure. It's like, whatever, man. Just come to our barbecue. It's all good. Just have a Corona.
Be part of the family.
Yeah. I want a barbecue scene at the end of Justice League. They're all sitting at the table.
And Jason Momoa says the word family 8 times out of 30 words of dialogue.
Yeah.
It's a good family.
Vin Diesel walks in there like, nah, man.
Ben Affleck's sad eating ribs because he doesn't want to be in the movie.
Sure. Then you have like, what's his name? The Flash, like, knocking back Coronas.
Oh, crushing him.
What's his name? Ezra Miller?
Yeah, Miller. He's good. He was in We Need to Talk About Kevin.
You know what's awkward is that, like, they have a different guy playing The Flash on a TV show. So it's I wonder how that guy feels.
Kind of
an insult.
Kind of?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's me and never mind.
It's DC. They don't plan long-term.
Clearly. I know Supergirl is doing well on TV, but if they make a Supergirl movie, don't be surprised if they cast somebody completely different.
Well, that's the thing. There's Superman. It's the guy from Everybody Wants Him in the Supergirl TV show, not Henry Cavill.
Wait, what guy from Everybody Wants Him?
The senior, the really good baseball player.
Taylor Hawk?
The guy I was about to say the guy with the mustache, but everybody had a mustache.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, the senior who was like the best ball player. He was the captain.
Oh, yeah. Wait, he's Superman?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Let me go. What are your thoughts on that?
Ever since Tom Welling did not star in a Superman movie, I've given up on crossing over TV and movie actors for my characters.
Aww. But everybody wants some.
Hard eyes for Smallville.
Yeah.
Yep, I love my Smallville very, very much. Sure. And I was so upset when Tom Welling never played Superman in a movie.
Well, Tom Welling was in that movie, The Choice.
Oh, boy.
The Nicholas Sparks film. There's and he a played a doctor, movie. So he might as well be Superman.
I can't believe Smallville was on for 10 seasons.
What?
Yeah, it was on for like an insane amount of time.
It was at least 8.
Well, that's the thing about mediocre television, right?
It's like it's
Supernatural's on season 13.
It's easy to watch. You need something that's easy to ignore. I've been talking to Mark about this. I'll marathon stuff on Netflix when he's not there. But I get sick of it because there's so much good content that you have to pay attention to it. You have to stop and watch or you miss things. Like The Crown. I thought I was going to multitask while watching The Crown, and I couldn't. I had to sit there and watch every detail.
See, I do that with shows I've already seen. So I don't feel bad when I'm not paying attention. Like, I'll watch, like, The Office on Netflix, and I'm just, like, not paying attention to it. But I know what's going on. Because I've seen it.
I started watching the new Tarzan movie very attentively, and I learned that I had to do something else to get through it.
That's why I watch all my bad movies on airplanes. I had to turn off Fist Fight, though. That movie hurt my soul. But, like, that Why Him?
Yeah.
But Office Christmas Party.
Easy to ignore TV show that we watch.
No.
Nothing.
Yeah. iZombie.
All right, guys. What's the final? what's the final consensus on Wonder Woman? I think
I loved it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Outstanding. I just didn't like the final fight, but I thought it was outstanding.
I'm gonna get the Steelbook.
It's 90% good.
I'm going to pre-order, which I never do for anything, the 4K.
Oh.
Even though it's going to cost me $26+.
You got a 4K TV living it?
I got a 75-inch 4K. You got to come over, Les.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get the Shallows on 4K and we'll watch on that thing. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw Force Awakens on this in 4K. Good Lord.
Sure. Yeah, so I guess the consensus is that watch Force Awakens in 4K.
At my house.
That's the final verdict on Wonder Woman.
Ooh, you should do Need for Speed. Classic.
4K. Yeah. All right, guys. Before we sign off, are there any plugs you want to make?
Yeah. Head to Movies, Films, and Flicks. Check out our posts. Go to sharkdropper.com. Lazvath works his butt off on these podcasts called Horror Play. There's also Paralyzed. Lazvath also has a new podcast called Watching the Clogs, mm-hmm. where he doesn't dance. He just looks at clogs.
Yeah, I just look at him. I kind of comment on him.
He's celebrating his Dutch heritage.
Yep.
Yeah,
and he just looks close at him.
I'm like 0.7% Dutch. It's from a very distant relative.
Yeah. And
while eating pierogies.
In episode 4, Lazvath actually called out that one of the shoes was birch and the other one was oak.
It was a surprise twist, like near the end of the episode.
I lost it. I was screaming in my car.
I lost it too. So I'm just like, is this gonna be the last episode? Can I handle this? It wasn't the last episode.
Watch the clogs.
Sure, sure. Let me get any plugs you want to make.
You know, we've been getting a lot of very kind support in social media from a couple people, Real Jilly G and Crash Palace, who are podcasters and horror writers. They're just nice folks who seem to listen to a good bit of our content and read a good bit of our content. And I always appreciate them. So every now and then I got to give a little shout out. And also, Meg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yay, Meg.
Yay.
Clap, 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 clap. Golf clap.
The Wonder Woman to your life.
That's right. Uh-huh. Sure. I'm her Steve Rogers.
Or
Trevor?
Steve Rogers Trevor.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sure. Megan, are there any plugs you want to make?
Yes. Make sure you're following the Facebook page because I post fun articles from AV Club and Wired and Cracked there all the time. Well,
maybe soon we'll be sharing Mark's piece from Wired.
Ooh. Yeah, and make sure you're checking out the blog and reviews and the fun graphics that he makes me create for him.
Yeah, hopefully in 3 weeks, y'all, I might have a profile on Wired. So look for that.
Nice.
Knock on wood.
Sure, guys. All right, I think that does it for a podcast. Go watch Wonder Woman. and also get a Cine 5-inch 4K TV.
Logs.
Yeah. For my co-hosts, John, Mark, and Megan. Happy to be host John Lasso. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark. Go, go, go.
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.